This passage, 1 Corinthians 14:4, comes from a teaching that Paul was addressing the church at Corinth. The Holy Spirit had been poured out upon all flesh, and there was evidences of that. There was fruit of Him pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. And the Holy Spirit distributed gifts in the church, and among those was the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, interpretation, gift of faith, several different gifts. There's nine of them mentioned in the chapter, two chapters before this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But Corinth was not a Jewish city. It was a heathen town. There was a lot of idol worship there. But the gospel came to that city. And the church was growing in that city. And with that was the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts started manifesting in their services. And we can draw from the fact that Paul come in with some corrections in addressing this in this letter, that there was probably some wrong attitudes, some wrong motives, but still in the midst of it all, the Holy Spirit was still activating, was still manifesting. The power of God was still being evidenced. Even in their wrong ways that they were doing it or whatever. But Paul comes in with this correction. And so in the 14th chapter, he's talking about, he uses a phrase there, which I'll show you in just a little bit. He says, when you come together. And he's talking mainly in this chapter about tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And so he's bringing order to the church. Apparently what can be brought from that, drawn from that, is there was disorder as they were using these gifts in their services. And so when we see this, he says, and when you come together, and he gives all of these statements. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that God has given the church, is expected to be exercised during worship services. And that there is also to be order. But the reason for the order is so that all the church can be edified. And you'll see that this theme, that's the theme of this, that the gifts are for the good of the believers and that the whole church will be edified. And so he talks about tongues, he talks about interpretation, he talks about prophecy and operation in a service. And he says here in this particular verse, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. The King James or New King James says, he who speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That's what strengthen means, is to edify. That's what edify means, is to strengthen. He says, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Now when this is talking about tongues, he also differentiates or distinguishes, really, is what I should say. He distinguishes the difference between praying in tongues or singing in tongues, and which is to edify the person who is either praying or singing in tongues. He differentiates that from speaking in tongues. In other words, a person speaks in tongues to the body, which more than likely, unless there is a person in that service that actually speaks that earthly language, no one else understands. He says that in this chapter. No one understands unless there is an interpreter who will interpret what the person said in the message of tongues. And that then in this is the prophecy. But he differentiates or distinguishes the different purposes of tongues and prophecy. You know, we've gone through this some in our Bible study Wednesday night and a little bit here on Sunday morning. But in this passage, in this chapter, he shows that tongues with interpretation is the same as prophecy. It equals that. But that's when a tongue is given to the body. That is different than someone just praying in tongues or singing in tongues. Paul said, I will sing with the understanding and I will sing with the spirit. And by Paul's teaching, we understand that when he talks about in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, that we're using the tongues that God has given us by being filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, not everybody in a setting like this has received the baptism with the Holy Ghost, but this could be your day. Somebody said, but when I got saved, didn't I receive the Holy Spirit? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Where does the Holy Spirit come from? Well, He is God, so it comes from God. So it's not the Holy Spirit that we're concerned about. We're looking at the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So here's what happens. Paul said that when you receive Christ, you've received the fullness of the Godhead bodily because you have received Christ. And the fullness of the Godhead was in Christ bodily. That is, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son was in the person of His fleshly body. And then Paul goes on to say, and because you have received Christ, so also are you complete. You know, we've been told to pray our Father which is in heaven, which He is. Pastor Andrew Womack says that's why we bow our head when we pray, because now we're facing the Father in us. The Father dwells in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Jesus the Son dwells in you if you're a believer. Jesus said something before His crucifixion in the book of John. And John gives a parenthetical statement. He says that Jesus said, and it's recorded in red, that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then John adds a parenthetical statement, a statement in parentheses that said, but He was talking about that which was to come because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. We see the giving from the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. So, the tongues is not something that can be learned. I read an article about 2 years ago. There's a church in California giving classes on how to speak with tongues. You see, they don't understand one thing. That the wherewithal to speak with unknown tongues is supernatural. It is not natural. It is supernatural. And I've had visitors come and people come and start talking about tongues, and you can just see it all over their face. Where's the nearest exit? Because people are, by and large, uncomfortable with the supernatural until they are suffering and hurting, and then they ask God to come into their life and rescue them. Well, when God comes into your life and rescue Him, you're going to experience the supernatural because God is supernatural. His natural is only supernatural because it's not natural to us. But it should. You know what? The supernatural should become the norm for us as well. Oh my goodness. Today, we're going to have demonstration of the supernatural. I'm not going to have a play. I'm not going to have a skit. I didn't say illustration. We're going to have demonstration. You ever been to a Pampered Chef party? They don't illustrate. They demonstrate. I've never been to one, but I've dreamed 100 times. I wish I could. Because they cook. They actually use those things to cook. Get some of their seasoning. It'll blow your taste buds. And you'll love it. So we're going to see today demonstration of the power of God. Not illustration, but demonstration. I would ask the ushers, lock the doors, okay, because somebody might be looking for an exit. Don't worry, ceiling fan's too high to swing from, guys, so we're not going up there, okay? Won't see pew jumping, but a demonstration of the power of God. And there was a whole lot of people. Old Testament was filled with them. Old Testament is filled with people who said to the prophets, when is that day going to come? When is that? Their hearts were crying out. When is that day going to come? All the miracles that they saw in the Old Testament was only a shadow of the great glorious stuff God was going to do in the person of Jesus. So we see in this passage, in this book, or in this chapter, that Paul is setting in order the proper use of gifts of the Spirit, and it is to be used in holy, it is to be used in the gathering of the church. I've heard teachings where tongues were not allowed, that it was a private prayer time. But that doesn't agree with Scriptures, because he says in this chapter, and church, when you come together, and one has a tongue, one has a prophecy, one has an interpretation. And there's another list that we're going to get to as well, other things in that list. Now maybe you are here this morning, and you say, well, I don't pray in tongues. Well, that comes from the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And you said, but didn't I receive the Holy Spirit when I got saved? Yes, but for illustration. This is not the demonstration, this is the illustration. When you receive the Holy Spirit, as you are a vessel that God pours Himself into, when you were saved, you were filled to the Holy Spirit, to the top. You were dwelt, you were possessed by the Holy Spirit to hear. But this is what I'm picking up from where I was saying a while ago. Jesus said in a future time, as John explained that, that the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. But what Jesus had said, He said, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't come from heaven. It already came from heaven in Acts chapter 2 and dwelt the believers. And then it says, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. You know where the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes from? Comes from the Holy Spirit inside of you to an overflowing till you are immersed. That's what baptism is. Now, here's a little bit of church history. The church got into baptizing people. I'm going to baptize you in some circles of Christianity, okay? This is water. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to show you what the Scriptures mean when it says baptize. So here come these people. Says, well, that's not baptism. Baptism means to dip. You get that? Immerse, to dip. When you take a corn chip and you put it in the French onion dip, you've baptized that sucker. That's what it means, to dip. Same thing with the Holy Ghost. You don't get sprinkled. You get immersed. But where does it come from? It comes from the inside, and out of your belly shall flow not sprinkles, but rivers of living water until it comes out of you and you are totally immersed. Hallelujah. And you try to give God praise and you sound like a drunk person who slurs so much that it's another language. Yeah. It can mess up your language so much, just like it did in Acts chapter 2. One guy was standing out there, heard those believers speaking another language, said, these guys are drunk. That word got back to Peter and said, no, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. You don't get drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. Unless you're in some dark corner of Mack County somewhere. Then I guess it's okay. Forgive us. This is a person who speaks in tongues. There he's talking about praying or singing, because it's in the context of the whole thing that is said. He says, is strengthened personally or edifies himself. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. So we're going to start there today. You say, well, I feel left out. Don't feel left out because God included you in all of these blessings. Don't get discouraged if you don't hear yourself start speaking in tongues. You just worship God. And I'll tell you, you know what happens? When you have the desire for that fullness to overflowing, that baptism that gives such glory, that God uses your tongue and your voice, it comes mostly in a time of worship, of focusing on Him. Hallelujah. I've got so many stories to tell you I don't have time for. You know what my heart's desire is? I am hoping that the flowing of the Holy Ghost is so deep and wide today that as you leave, there's going to be a whole other church coming in. Now, this is going to happen. A whole other church is going to come in, go downstairs, and they're going to use our baptistry because they need to borrow it. Isn't that a glorious thing that churches can work together like that? Hey, but what if there's such a power and presence of the Holy Ghost, those non-Pentecostals just say, ooh, there's something here. There's something here. There's a residual something here. Hallelujah. And there might be one or two of those people that come, and they've already tasted of this good stuff, see? But they're undercover. And when they come in, ooh, this sure feels, this tastes very familiar to me. Oh, glory. One is going to get baptized in water. I wonder how many more could be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Whew. If the presence of the Holy Ghost is so powerful, was so powerful in Peter that he walked by and his shadows were on the sick and they were healed, or if Paul, with his handkerchiefs, somebody take his handkerchief that he had held and take it to another place and laid that handkerchief on the sick and they were healed, that's what happened. I think there'd be enough residual presence of God by such an outpouring here. What if some of those non-Pentecostals get healed? What if they get delivered from fear and anxiety? I want to tell you, this thing about God's glory filling the earth is much more incredible than what we have believed. So let's do this. A person who, for clarity, within the context of what he is distinguishing here, I'm going to use the word praise. Speaking to God. A person who prays in tongues is strengthened personally. I want us to do that. Jack's going to play. And those of you who have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of it being tongues, just enjoy the presence of God. Say, Jesus, I'm willing to receive everything you want to give me. Whew. Incredible things have happened to people. I've heard testimony of testimony how their lives were changed because of this baptism with the Holy Spirit. But you're a believer. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Something, you're going to begin to feel something right around here. You're going to feel something right around here. And I've heard so many stories and that just stirred and stirred and stirred. And your brain will tell you, oh, but that's just you. Duh! It's your mouth and your tongue, but it's the Holy Spirit who gives the unction. All you do is surrender your elements of your human body for the Holy Ghost to use. This is good stuff. Let me tell you what can happen during this time. You can be miraculously delivered from drug addiction, from alcoholism, from religionism. You can be delivered. This is your day of freedom as the Holy Ghost comes and frees you from all kinds of things. Hallelujah. It's a good thing, man. I'm going to tell you, the river is flowing. Jump in. Get in over your head. The water is fine. Hallelujah.
Kiarabasito robohoshondo robosite lebakasaya. Le roboho sorabahashandaya. Ora bahasata kete yeseo. Shemeriando rabalabahasie. Keshota bahasaya. Telelelelelele robohosoya. Oh, yes. Thank you, God, for edifying the body. Lord, through the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Shikolo bohosara bahasaya. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, masanda rararara basiete le soriba. Dira masando robohosa. Oh, just enjoy the flow. There's a river flowing up out of you. Hallelujah. Sondoria talabahasaya. Keto lobosite rebahashaya. Se rabahalabataida. Senderidibidio soya. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oshoto rabahasaya. Otakasia tahara serra bahasaya. Oh, hallelujah. Ora kerobohosoya. Sheto hosoto okora bahasaya. Leo sorobo. Yes, hallelujah. Orobosorabaya. Kerobohosora. Leia rabahasandoro roboshea. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Urabasatele kiatahara. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Just receive from God. Oh, yes, commune with Him right now. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, shora bahasaya. Ketele beheseya. Taya robohosoya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, that's right. Hallelujah. Open up my eyes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. See, God has not left you out of the glory of His presence and the glory of being used of Him. For you are not limited, but only in your thinking. God is not limited, but only in your thinking. God has opened the windows of heaven and hath poured out His flesh on all people. Hallelujah. Church, I want to tell you something. I referred to this a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about deacons and elders. And you remember that one time when Moses, Pastor Moses, had a complaint before God and he said, "These people are too much for me. It requires too much. I can't take it."
God told him, he said, then you call out of the camp 70 elders, and I will, and you have them stand at the tabernacle, and I will take of the spirit that I have put on you, I will take of that spirit and I will put on them. And the Bible says that that's what happened. And it said they began to prophesy. Now, in that passage, in that story, it says of those 70 that were listed for them to call out, for Moses to call out, two of them did not come. I didn't talk about this because this is a different point. Two of those men did not come. So there was only 68 upon that were in this group sitting here. However, the scripture says this, two men, he even gives their name, Eldad and Medad, stayed behind in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but they had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet the Spirit rested upon them as well, so they prophesied in the camp. Even though they didn't come out, the Spirit was put on them because they were on that list. And the Spirit came upon them and they prophesied in the camp where they are. Then there was a young man who loved Moses, his right-hand man. His name was Joshua. It says a young man ran and reported to Moses, hey Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, the son of Nun, who had been Moses' assistant since youth, protested, Moses, my master, make them stop. And here's what Moses said. This is Numbers 11:29. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? Can you get this one up there, Bill? Numbers 11, verse 29. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? Listen to what's going on here. The prophet Moses, God is just giving a glimpse of what he's going to do in the future, but he says it through Moses when he says, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them all. God has not left you out. It's not just for elders. They began to prophesy. But when Joshua said, wait a minute, they didn't obey you, they didn't tell you, they didn't do what you said, so they're not a part of this. They were already on the list. And because they were on the list, no matter where they were at, God kept His promise. No matter where they were at, they didn't deserve the blessing of prophesying, but they were on the list. I'm going to tell you, when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, your name is on the list, and you have been qualified in Christ to prophesy. Hallelujah. Now you say, whoa, I've never had anybody tell me I can prophesy. Well, let's fast forward several years to another prophet, from the prophet Moses to the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. Let's see what Joel said there before the coming of Jesus. Joel said in 2:28, then after doing all those things, there is a whole list of things listed there. He said, then after doing all those things, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will... He didn't say some. I will pour out my Spirit on... all. Everybody say all. And my sons and my daughters will prophesy. I'm going to tell you, that's the plan that God exposed right there. Moses hinted at it. Joel said it right out. It says, your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. And then let's fast forward till after the coming of Christ. After His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and seating. Now we see in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out right there. And Peter stepped forward with the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you. Follow fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. About what? What is this? The thing that they had heard in that upper room, people praising God and glorifying God in tongues. He said, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. 16. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel when he said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out of my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Whew. So what is prophesying? You say, well, I'm not a prophet. I'm not talking about the office of prophet. Now we're going to go back to the gifts of the Spirit in a worship service. And prophecy is one of those things that he addresses. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians 14:1 through 4. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. He raises that above others, not only in importance because of its purpose. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. New Living Translation says that he, one who prophesies, strengthens, encourages, comforts. Everybody say those three. Strengthens, encourages, and comforts. That's what prophecy does. When a person prophesies, he is strengthening the church, he is encouraging the church, and he is comforting the church. Verse 4 says, and he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the body, the church. And finally, jumping down to verse 26. After he said all that and taught on order in the church, he says, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues and another will interpret what is said. But everything must be done to strengthen all of you. No more than one or two should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time and someone must interpret what they say. But if no one is present who can interpret, they must be silent in the church, meeting and speaking in tongues to God privately. If someone has a word in tongues and there's no interpreter, he said, don't let that go on forever because it causes confusion. But if someone's there who has the gift of interpretation, let them do that. Why? Because the purpose of it is that the body is edified, encouraged, and comforted. Verse 29, let two or three people prophesy and let the others evaluate what is said. But if someone is prophesying and another person receives a revelation from the Lord, the one who is speaking must stop. In this way, all who prophesy will have a turn to speak, one after the other, so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. Remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. It's about the body. And not all encouragement, edification, comfort comes from behind the pulpit. But God said that my sons and my daughters will prophesy. And the purpose of that are words to encourage, to strengthen, and to comfort. Some of you are here today because you needed encouragement. You need strengthened. And you know what? God is going to use somebody else to speak a word of comfort to you and edification and strengthening. That's what this microphone is for. Is Alexis up here? She's not, is she? Alexis? Alexis, would you help Pastor Cecil?
Bless her heart. This is a young lady who wants to serve Jesus. You step in anywhere that you're working, she comes in, she'll say, can I help? I was getting that baptistry ready last night. It had been a while since we used it because we use the creek most of the time. There's spiders and spider webs and dirt in there. She said, can I help? Got right down in there with me, got all grungy. And she says, is this where we put dead people? At first I said, well, yeah. I said, we baptize them in water. People who give their life to Jesus, we baptize them in water. Here's what I want you to do. When somebody stands up, okay, God is going to speak through them to the body. But it won't do any good if we can't hear what that person is saying, right? So when somebody stands, would you take this mic to them? Okay.
Okay, just hang on here. All right. This is a time for edification, exhortation, and comfort, not for correction and rebuke. Just for an example, was down in a meeting in Houston, small group like this. Holy Spirit was wonderful. Lady stood up to give a word and blasted everybody in the room because we were sending our kids to a public school instead of a Christian school. You know what that did? Killed the whole meeting right there. That's not what this is about. This is for edification, strengthening, and for comfort. Now, the Bible says there, he said, let him prophesy. He says, you may, this is the King James, New King James, he says, you may all prophesy. We saw why that heart of God through Moses, when he said, if all of God's people would prophesy. Joel said, my sons and my daughters will prophesy. You have been qualified by God and have been empowered to by the Holy Spirit. And then Paul continues on or confirms that when he said, you may all prophesy. But he said, do it one after another. And he even gave us directions. One person is not to dominate. Don't think you're all that in a box of rocks. He's all that and every rock. He is the rock. But we loan ourselves to the use of the Holy Spirit for a short time, considering the gift that is in another. As I was praying over this week, different faces came to me. Somebody has specific words, and I'm not going to plant that in your mind, but somebody has specific words of encouragement. And I know who you are. Now here's the deal. We've done this before, have we not? Those of you who've been here a while, we've done this before. And invariably, somebody will come up to me and say, Pastor, I had something I want to share, but I just wasn't sure. Or
say that again, John.
Doubt can negate faith. And so when a word of encouragement comes to you, that's the Holy Ghost. Speak it out. You don't have to spit and shout and dance like I do. Just say it. And this young lady right here is going to come. Wait, let's go.
I hear God saying growth. Growth in this church. But he's saying growth is going to start within us first. God is going to prepare each one of us. Let us grow so this church will grow. And I just keep hearing that growth. Growth is coming. Internal growth and growth in this church.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
I hear the Lord say that there is no promise that has been compromised by him, and that there is no thing that you have done that has compromised his love for you.
Mm.
That where you sit and what you do, that he approves of you for who you are.
Thank you, Father.
That he loves you and that he will always be with you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Spirit, show and take comfort in me. I see your silent scream. I hear your pain. Just take comfort in me. I'm here. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
The comfort's here for you. you're not alone. And I see you. I love you. Oh, sweet Jesus. No more pain. Lean into me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's just wait. Some of you are, you have a word of encouragement. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. See, during this time, you can be talking to God in the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Father's telling me that we can ask the impossible.
Yes.
We can ask the difficult, that He is the great and mighty God, that He can do anything that we need and that we're asking for. We just need to be obedient to Him and turn it over to Him. Whew.
I just received this image. Jesus is standing like this, and there's a woman standing in front of Him. And this woman has approached Him with all of her scars. Scars of abuse. Scars of neglect. Scars that she has because she's believed that she's unloved, and much of her treatment from people has been that unloved. Mister, would you help me demonstrate this? I know. This is what I see. I'm getting my wife to help me here. Just stand there like that. And she's approached the Lord. This is some lady in this group right here. And He's standing, and He said, yeah, I have scars too. Now let me have yours. He's healing you. He's healing you today. He's healing those deep emotional scars that are so deep that only God can reach there. He knows you're present. He's very aware. And He's healing you right now. You know, we'd love to pray for you. If this is spoken to anyone today, would you mind coming up, and we want to pray with you. We want to lay hands on you and pray for you. We'll have some ladies come forward.
As I pray for the church and people, just what Pastor was sharing, there are some who have experienced rejection in their life and are still dealing with it to this day because they haven't been healed of it. But Father God says to you today, I have not rejected you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I have not rejected you. There may have been situations in your life where you felt unloved and rejected, but know this today, that your Heavenly Father has never rejected you. And if you felt that rejection, if it's happened in your life, He wants to heal you of that today. Yes. He wants to take that horrible feeling that you've had all your life, that I'm not loved, that I'm not good enough. Why didn't my parents love me? Why did my family treat me so bad? Why did that person I trust in hurt me like that? They didn't want me. They didn't love me. God says, I love you, and I can heal you and give you everything you need.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you. Oh, hallelujah.
God is here to give you rest.
Yeah.
He is there to fill up your lungs with His Holy Spirit. He is there to strengthen you, to give you joy, to heal your pain, to heal your body. He is there waiting for you, and He loves you. He wants you to rest. He wants to renew you. He wants you to get rest at night. He wants you to get rest during the day when you're at work. He wants to give you a new spirit of joy.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
He wants to renew you, a fresh renewal, a pouring of that fresh renewal all over your body. Your spirit, your soul, and your mind be refreshed. He's waiting to just breathe on you.
Just love on Jesus. He's loving on us. Let's just love on Him. Hallelujah. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Daddy God. Thank you for healing the broken spirit. Hallelujah.
God's in the process of building a healthy church. Thank you, Lord. It's bestowed upon me gifts that I would like to use, and I think other people here also, to help explode this church for the glory of God.
Praise you, Joe. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We receive that. This came to me this week, and so this reminded me of what the Holy Spirit ministered to me. I have said this in the past. Well, numbers doesn't matter. But I remember, and I saw in the scriptures where Jesus said, go, when he made the original invitation, you remember what He said? They all had their excuses. I bought a new pair of oxen. I've got to go try them out. I've got to go bury my parents, whatever. And then when those wouldn't come, Jesus said, go out into the highways and the byways. Here's what He said. So that my house will be full. He suddenly made it about numbers. Why? Because He wants everybody, many people, to come into the kingdom of God. If numbers weren't important to God, why did He, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Not for gloating sake or pride sake or anything like that. It's because that many people are coming to the knowledge of the kingdom and who they are, sons of God, and walking and reigning in victory in this life. Hallelujah. Whew. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Pastor Cecil, God keeps telling me that there's somebody in here, and He keeps knocking on their door, and they keep stumbling. When they knock on His door, He always answers. whoever it is, whoever you are, he knows who you are, and you know who you are, and he wants you to stop stumbling.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know how one stumbles? He stumbles by trusting in his own ability to do right before God and to be right before God. It's one that's inward focus instead of heavenward focus. I'm going to tell you, you saw your last day of backsliding when you realize who you are and what Jesus has done to you. Your days of backsliding are behind you. Whew. Glory. We're strengthened in Him. Not in ourselves, but in Him. Hallelujah. Grace people are the most holy living people that I've seen on the earth. Here's what Andrew Womack said. He said, you get a hold of grace and you'll live a more holy life by accident than you ever did on purpose. Whew. That's good enough to repeat again while I'm eating lunch. Man, isn't God good? So we can't just keep this to ourselves. Let that overflow, keep it going so it overflows on the waitress, the waiter. So it overflows at the cashier, at the gas station. Hallelujah. This is just a refilling station here, guys. Because the real happening goes on out there. Amen? So let's go on. Let's get out there. And let's give them heaven to the glory of God. Amen? What I'm saying is you're dismissed. Let's go find some fried chicken.